Day. God is good all the time. Even if I forget sometimes, he's still good. Amen. All right, so today I want to talk about something. How many of you were here last week when I was teaching healing school? Okay, what did we talk about last week? What book did we hang out in? Wonderful. So no one's offended from last week. Don't even remember what we talked about. Praise God. Ephesians, you're absolutely right. So let's go back there again. Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, and we kind of hung out in Ephesians chapter 3, but there's one statement in this, one little area that I want to focus on for a second because I want to build on this. Okay? So, let's look in verse 17. Ephesians 3, verse 17. Okay? There's Bibles in front of you in the pews if you don't have a Bible. So Ephesians 3, verse 17 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. I just want to pull that statement out of the middle of this whole prayer. That you may be rooted and grounded in love. So let me back up and expand this, okay? This is Paul praying, and I'm going to read the whole prayer just because I just got convicted I need to do that. 14 through 21 of Ephesians 3. For this reason, this is Paul praying, for this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Key points is that we would be filled with the fullness of God in us. To do that, we need to be rooted and grounded in love, right? Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. She's got it up on the screen, so I'm just going to go ahead and read. What are the first two words? Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Pursue love. And this is coming right after the chapter. And what do we name the chapter that's just before this? The love chapter. So Ephesians says we need to be rooted and grounded in love, so that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 says we need to pursue love. That means that's a really strong thing. She says chase after it. Let me give you a couple word pictures of this word pursue. You go into a tree, you get a deer stance, you put it up there, you go at the crack of dawn, you get your rifle, and you're waiting for a deer to come by. Okay? You're hunting for that deer. Okay? That is not what this word is. This word is you are hot on the trail of that deer running through the forest, and you're looking at signs of the broken branches, the tracks, and you're going after it, and you're chasing down, pursuing that animal to hunt it down. You're chasing after it. You're cueing in all of your signals. You're aware of your environment. You're blending in so that you can get this thing. A negative way of looking at this is a stalker. You know what a stalker is? So what does a stalker do? They hang out, they hide, they follow you, they are around all the time, they sometimes steal little possessions of yours, they have little shrines about you if they're stalking, if they're really whacked out, okay? Creeps you out looking at that way. But it's the motive of that person. Their intent is they are consumed with whatever they're going after. They're consumed with it. It's all important to them. Are you with me? That's the way we need to go after this love that we need to be rooted and grounded in. Are you with me? I'm not going to read 1 Corinthians 13 yet. We're going to go ahead and move forward. Go with me to 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to jump around in this. I'm going to start in verse 16. Okay, but we're going to be in the whole chapter. And we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love does what? Abides in God, and God in him. Are you with me? So this is binding God and love together. As we pursue love, we're pursuing God. Love and God, you can't pull them apart. You can't say love is an emotion and it's separate from God. God is love. If you want to be filled with more of God, what does it say? We need to be rooted and grounded in love that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Being rooted and grounded in God is being rooted and grounded in love. Are you with me? So God is love, it says in 1 John. And if we are filled with love, we are filled with God. God is in us, and we are in him, and we're one with him. Okay? Going back to Ephesians. When you are filled with the fullness of God, when you know love, when you know the Lord, then that is the power of God in you. Why? Because it's God who is life. God is not God of the dead, he's God of the living. God is life. Too many of us think that it's a magical power that we're given when we're given a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the Lord himself. It's his spirit. It's him, the way he thinks, the way he is. We identify with him. We're doing his will, his way. And we're laying down our separateness, our own way of being and thinking, and we're setting that aside and adopting and pursuing and being consumed with acquiring God himself. And you know the amount of God that you have in you by the amount of love that you carry. Okay? Does that make sense? Go back to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to come back to 1 John, I believe. See how smart I was? I said, I believe, instead of telling you for a fact we were going to. I'm learning me. 1 Corinthians 13. Okay? It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and clanging cymbals. He's saying that you can speak in tongues, But if you're not doing it through a relationship of being in love, it's just banging and making a lot of noise. That's all it is banging and making a lot of noise. Because the power isn't the word of tongues. It isn't the voice of tongues. The power is in the love. The love is where the power is at. Let's look a little further. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, that's a spiritual gift, isn't it? And understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains. So if you're the person that has so much faith that if you tell that mountain to uproot itself and go plant itself in the sea, it will do what you say if you doubt not in your heart. Right? Pretty cool, isn't it? But have not love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. You know why? The power, the miracles, the anointing is not for you. It's for other people. Amen. Okay? Yes. What's for you? Being rooted and grounded in love. If I don't have love, I am nothing. Let's go on. And though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing at all. Let's think about this a second. All right, let's bring it home to real life, okay? Because sometimes you can get a little flowery in the Bible, and you don't own what you're reading. You don't go, bong, that's me. Okay? So let's bong a couple people today. When I was a kid, there was a cartoon. I forgot what it was called. And this horse had a guitar, and he would hit people, and it was called El Kabong. Somebody else knows about that? A couple of people do. Boy, I haven't thought about that since I was a toddler, man. Wow. Okay. So, I was at a place in my life where I've already been to heaven, met the Lord, been sent to outer darkness, seen my entire life before my eyes, told to let go of everything I believe, and to learn this Bible, and that when I speak love, agape. Already had all that. Went to Bible study, Bible school, Andrew Womack Ministries, went to Karis Bible College, met Pastor Trey there, went through all the classes, started putting together in my mind and my heart two kinds of righteousness. Me trying to be righteous so that I have favor and a relationship with God. Me trying to be a good person. Me trying to do nice things and be with God versus God making me righteous separate from any of my conduct or behavior. And I had to learn that. And I started putting these things together. I would pray for people and I would see healings from time to time. Miracles. I would get next to people and I could prophesy. I would have things that I would know about them. And I operated in those gifts. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. I would have faith for supernatural blessings to come my way. I remember one time praying for money and a $100 bill was just circulating in a piece of wind that was caught like a little wind tunnel. And I was praying I needed some money because I was going to a funeral and I had enough money to get there. My mother had passed away and I was going to her funeral and I wanted to buy pizza for my brothers and sisters so we can all sit down and talk. I had just enough money to get there but not enough money to be a blessing. So I asked the Lord for some money. I look out the window and there's a $100 bill. Caught in a little whirl thing, and it stayed caught until I got there to get it. Okay. Miracles. I'm telling you, you just got to remind yourself of these things. I have had supernatural interventions where God has intervened in my life. I'm telling you, it's like at the moment it was beyond my brain to comprehend what was happening as he rescued me. It was beyond human understanding. He's rescued me several times that way. Supernatural stuff. And you know what? I didn't even like people. It's not that I didn't have love. I didn't like people. And you know what? In my heart, I was a mess. I was absolutely broken. I had a wall up inside of me. And I was cut off compassionately from other people. Oh, could I interact with people? Sure I could. Could I do common things together with other people? Absolutely I could. Did I care about those people? Not one bit. I cared about getting to know God and being endued with power. I cared about faith so that I can get my needs met. It was all wrapped up in me. And you know what? I was estranged. Is that the right word? Estranged? I was separated from my original mother, my real mother. I hadn't seen her in 40 years. I was raised by my stepmother, who I did love, her. But I couldn't even say her name because I was so locked down with things that I didn't even know was in my heart. Because she was an alcoholic. She lost all of us kids. She never showed up in our lives after my dad got custody. And I was locked down and I was a prisoner of all these things in my own heart because I was stuffing it down, just trying to go forward. Old things are behind. And behold, all things are made new. And I wasn't able to live out of the depths of my heart. So I had no grace, I had no patience, I was emotional because I had no volume to carry anything inside of me. Okay? And then I had to start getting some healing in my heart. I had to start acknowledging the things that I was carrying. I had to start seeing what was actually in me, the real stuff that was in me, so that I can grab a hold of it and go, "This is in me, Lord. I give this to you." And I had to forgive others. I had to forgive myself. I had to walk through those things so that I could start emptying out my heart because I was not rooted and grounded in love. You've probably heard this before, but it's my story, so I'll tell you. I was in Bible school. I was helping one of the teachers. She liked to operate in spiritual gifts. She was very good at it. And that was her thing. And she had me be one of her helpers. And on the way in, she didn't know me. It was a new acquaintance. On the way in, she had to drive a long distance to come into the Bible college. And I was on her mind. Because she likes to give a word to students, you know, two or three people each time she taught. And I was one of the people that the Lord put on her mind. She didn't know my name. And she started looking for me in the room. And she finally found me. I was sitting in the back over where Minton's sitting, way in the back. And she found me. And she said, "The Lord showed me you on the way in. And he loves you. You make him laugh." And she says, "I saw him belly laughing because of your cheesy humor." And I could relate because I have very cheesy humor, you know that? And she says, "He was belly laughing at your cheesy humor." And she said this, she says, "The Lord told me to tell you, ask whatever you will of him and he'll give it to you." Instantly, you know what I did? That cheesy humor rose up and I thought, oh, I know, I'm supposed to ask for wisdom. I'll ask for wisdom because then I can get everything else too, praise God. The Lord didn't laugh when I said that. It was like vomit, just fell to the ground dead. So I knew it was real. It took me about 3 weeks to be able to really think about what I wanted to ask the Lord for. And when I really got serious, because I knew this was real, I said, "Lord, I don't love people. I can interact with them fine, but I don't love people. I tolerate them. I put up with them. I said, I ask you to give me compassion for others and the gift of being able to see into the hearts of others so that I can untie the knots that are binding them like the ones that are binding me. And that's what I asked for. I think he gave it to me. Because from that day on, situations started coming to me that made me have to deal with and see what was really in my heart. Not the facade that I can put on, but the real stuff behind the facade, the things that we don't talk about. Like, you know what metadata is? Okay, no computer people. Metadata is the information about the information. Okay? It's like, I'm in this room right now sharing information with you. The metadata is, we're at High Point Church in Macon, Georgia. It's 2019-1031 at approximately 1102. That's the metadata. That's the information about the information, okay? It's locating where we're doing this, all that. All the things that bind me up and have bound me up in my life are not me. It's what I believe about myself. It's what's happened to me. It's what I identify with. The true me is the one that is carrying that stuff and aware of that stuff. And I have to let it go. Why? For the love of God. For the love of God. That I have to pursue love. I have to be open to love. I have to be able to receive and give love, because that's the only thing that profits me personally. That's the only thing that profits you personally. I was able to work in spiritual gifts. I was able to see things. I was able to go to heaven. I had miracles happen to me. But I was a mess. I was a mess. So all of that, none of that stuff I was doing was profiting me at all. My ego would get some little glory and little hallelujahs, you know, and people would come and ooh, Robert, you know this, pat you on the back. Big deal. It did nothing for me as far as my relationship with God. Revelation does not change you. This does. Being rooted and grounded in this. Because if you're rooted and grounded in this, that saves your soul. This is the way we get to know God. Because God is, that's your cue, God is love. Are you with me? All right. Can I do the hallelujah thing real quick? Hallelujah, that's good word, Robert. Hallelujah. God is love, and we need to get love. Look at this. Go to 1 John chapter 4 again. 1 John chapter 4. We read at verse 16. I'm going to read it again, and then I'm going to go right into 17, okay? And we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Whoa, stop right there. Love is perfected that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. How many of you want to be able to stand in front of the Lord on that day of judgment and be absolutely free and clean and happy in front of Him. When He goes, judge me, Lord. Judge me, Lord. Look in me and see if you see any ways that disturb you at all. How many of you would like to be able to do that? Yeah. What does this say? How does this say that happens? By love being perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. When love is rooted and grounded in me and you, God is rooted and grounded in me and you. That when love is rooted and grounded in me and you, then the fullness of God dwells in us, in you and in me. Right? Amen. When the fullness of God is dwelling in you and me, we'll have absolutely no fear at the coming of the Lord and at the judgment seat of God. Whether Christians are in front of the judgment seat or not is not the conversation for today. But when you appear before Him, if you want to have boldness and confidence, absolute security, with no thought of any defect in you, be filled with the love of God. It goes on in 17 and says, because as He is, so are you in this world. So when you are filled with the fullness of God, your heart, your attention, your inclination, everything about you is in the pursuit and the acquisition of an intimate relationship with the Father, with the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, that when you stand before the Lord, you know who He sees in front of Him? Yes, ma'am, absolutely right. Give that woman a brownie button. That's right. A gold star goes to that woman. He sees Himself. Go back a chapter in this book to the third chapter. Chapter 3. Let's look in three verses, 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 3 of 1 John, verse 1, 2, and 3. Are you with me? Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God. Oh, just let that sink in right now. Right now. God is love, and we are children of God right now. And it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as He is pure. Time to turn a corner. When we see Him, we will all of a sudden go, hey, that's me. Hey, when we see Him, we'll go, hey, that's me. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Him, He's going to look at you and me and go, hey, that's me. Whatever I say about me is what I'm going to say about you when you stand before me at that moment. Is that good news?
Yeah.
That's a hallelujah. Go ahead, say it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now, that may not be the reality that some of us are walking in right at this moment. Okay, is it true? Can we trust this? It's true. How do we get to from where we're at right now, though, to this place? Because this is true. but it may not be the proof of my life. Let me show you something. I got a couple images, the color one. Don't put it up just yet. Too late. Leave it small. Okay, those of you that are intellectual and like numbers and all that kind of stuff, this is going to be for you. Okay? For all of you. You're welcome. So, this is for you. You know how the Bible says that now that you've been born again, you're no longer darkness, but now you're children of light? You know that part? It's in three parts, actually. But anyway, you know that part. Okay. You know how it says that the fruit of the Spirit through the relationship with the Holy Spirit in you is love, joy, peace, and we know them, okay? And the works of the flesh, we understand that the works of the flesh, which Pastor Trey is going to probably unfold all of this in the next couple of weeks here at church, is destructive, malicious, bad things. I don't even like to name the list because I don't even like to read those words anymore because I'm so separated from that stuff. But before I knew God, I was living that stuff. Okay? You notice I didn't say before I said I was a Christian? It was before I knew God. Not before I said I was a Christian. I said I was a Christian well before I knew God. And I still struggled with a lot of those things because I lived according to my carnal nature and my flesh. It was still all about me. I'm not saying I'm completely delivered from my flesh, but not by a long shot. But I have got it trained to a certain degree to not lead so much and run around and wreak havoc. Okay? So, those defiling things we're supposed to not walk in anymore, right? Do you also know in Romans chapter 8, where it says, verse 1, now there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit? You're familiar with that? You also know that if you live according to the flesh, it's death. But if you live according to the Spirit, it's life and peace. Okay, you see how he's making that merismos, that dividing asunder? He's separating and showing you two sides of that. Go ahead and put up the picture. Start at the bottom, make it big. A lot of people make it big and start at the very bottom. Look at the bottom of this picture. It's all right, take your time. Hit the blue one. Now move over to the other screen. There you go. Hit the magnifying glass. Slide it up. More. More. There you go. Slide down to the bottom. You guys can read that, right? Okay. Slide down further. Further. There you go. What's at the very bottom of that?
Shame.
Shame. When a person's filled with shame, what are the feelings that they have? Apathy, helplessness, and death. When a person is filled with shame, these are the emotional feelings that they're carrying with them. As you go up this scale, you can look at powerlessness, a person that's numb. They're overwhelmed and they're frozen. They're stuck in their stuff. They cannot get out of their stuff. They are a prisoner to it. Going up, hopelessness. It's resignation and depressed. Sadness and grief. Depleted. Loss. Burdens. If you will take yourself, I'm not saying this is the end all be all. This is just a document to help people with emotional things on how to move up the scale. Believe it or not, there are numbers associated with each of these things. Shame is a 20. At the very top of this thing, it's 700 to 1,000 on other charts. Okay? I didn't want to give you one with too many numbers. Going up the scale, can you slide up a little bit? Fear, threat, hate, blame, guilt, resentment, remorse, anger. When a person's carrying anger and they're filled with anger, you know what an evidence of that is? Rage. There'll be rage in their life. Defiance. You're not going to make me do anything. And boredom. They can't engage, really, truly engage with others. They suffer boredom. Okay? Go up the scale further, past the green. Those are average. Continue up to blue. Stop there. Look at love. As a person starts moving up the scale of enlightenment or in the knowledge of the things of God, when a person gets to love, what is it? Cooperation and trust. Cooperation and trust. Doesn't the Bible say that if we are built up in love, that we are to edify one another for the building of the entire body? Right? Isn't that us cooperating together and being one? The more that love is in you and filled in you, the more you'll find value in other people. Amen. And you'll want to be connected with other people so that you'll start seeing them as you and you as them. Each one is a part of the whole. None of us are exclusive. The only time we're going to actually be exclusive is when we stand before the Lord one-on-one. And then, if you're operating this stuff, you know what it is? That's me! And he'll turn around and say, that's me! Amen? Amen. And we'll have exactly what he has. Exactly what he has. All the way up to serenity, that you carry nothing at all. You don't carry anything. You just are. You've been purified from all the things of the flesh. You've renounced it. You've let it go. You don't identify with it any longer. It's not in your thoughts. It's not in your consciousness. It's barely in your memory, and you have to go digging to try to find any of it because it's not in the way that you live anymore. It's just not there. How many of you have ever forgiven somebody so much so that you forgot you even had an issue with them? Because it's clean, it's gone. It's just, it's not even there to even be a hindrance in any passion or portion, right? Amen. Okay. You can take that down. Go ahead and throw, yeah, I can give you. Throw the other one up just for a moment, would you? Just to give people numbers if they want numbers. Open it up. Big, big, big. Okay, scroll up to the top so we can see the headings. This is vibrational frequency chart, which don't get confused by that. Just think of it like this. Musical notes on a piano keyboard, okay? The lower the anguish is inside of you, the shame, the guilt, the fear, the anger, the lower the note on the piano. Dum, 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 dum. Those are bad feelings. You carry those. That is your harmonic resonance. That's the signal that you're sending out into the universe. And when you're sending out that dum, 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 dum into the universe, because that's what you're actually carrying, God is so good to you, he makes you right all the time, you're going to attract the same thing as you. You're going to attract the exact same thing as you because the magnets pull each other together. Change your frequency. In other words, change your mood and your point of view of who you are and how you identify yourself and move up the scale. Slide down to the bottom. So you look, it's God's view. It's life view. The level that you're at, and the log is the number of the value of each one of these. The emotion that's identified with it, and the process. Okay, slide up to the bottom. Look at this. Shame has a 20 on the scale. It's the lowest one. And you know what Adam and Eve suffered in the garden when they transgressed God? Shame, another word for shame, embarrassment. Humiliation. That is the worst thing you can possibly do to anyone, is to shame them, embarrass them, or humiliate them. It's very wrong to do, because you send them to the very bottom of that scale. But if you look up the scale higher and higher above guilt, apathy, fear, desires, anger, pride, and going up the scale higher and higher, look at when you hit acceptance. It's 350 on that scale. Now you're way up on the end of the piano. But here's, like when you play the piano, they have octaves in a piano. Judy can tell you more than I do. They're categories of keys. And the average human race enjoys certain keys, a certain range that people like the songs to be in. They don't like them way high on the scale, and they don't like them way down on the scale. They kind of like that middle area. Well, that's where most people live, actually. That's why they like the middle area. I'm not saying you're going to like the upper end keys once you get more enlightened. I'm saying it's a correlation, a way of seeing that as you move up and you're more like God, more loving other people, you let go of things, you start thinking better of yourself, you stop putting negative thinking in yourself, you stop identifying yourself with the flesh and start identifying yourself with the spirit, what happens is you become elevated and start moving up that chart. Your song of your heart becomes brighter and brighter. You don't carry glum around with you. You start carrying joy around with you. You stop being doom and gloom. Oh, my body's failing me. Oh, these are falling apart. Oh, I just can't do what I used to do. Gloom and doom, that perpetuates more deterioration. But when you do life and peace and joy, it goes up. So, go ahead and take those off. That's why the Lord says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoicing raises your energy level in the spirit until you start getting higher and higher and higher and thinking of yourself higher and higher and higher, right? Till you bust out of this atmosphere and get into where the minutiae of this world is no longer what you're identifying with at that moment. You're in the holy zone, amen, where no sicknesses or disease can reside, okay? A lot of us are successful at getting into the holy zone for a few minutes on Sunday morning. And isn't that nice when you're there? You feel the presence of the Lord. A certain amount of specialness starts filling the atmosphere in the room. And you start going, ooh, this is anointed. Oh, I perceive the presence of God. Because in worship, your heart is used to opening up at that time, okay? God says that we need to praise and worship Him regularly, getting us up. Your thinking is your thermostat that sets and regulates the temperature of how you identify yourself, what you find yourself thinking on. That's why the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure, thank you. Whatsoever things are whatever, praiseworthy, virtuous. Sorry, I've lost my mind for a moment. All those wonderful things, whatever's truthful. Think on these things. Because why do you, when you think on those things, there she goes. Thank you. Think whatever true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there's any virtue and if anything is praiseworthy, down. meditate on these things. Meditating is to murmur, which means to over and over and over mutter to yourself over and over. You ever heard anybody murmuring and complaining? What does it mean when they're murmuring and complaining? They're doing this. Oh, I don't understand why she's so mad at me right now. I didn't do anything. It's her. She's the whole problem. It's not me. I'm doing just fine. I'm doing everything just right. I mean, God, you love me and I love you, but I don't understand about her, why she's doing all that kind of stuff. Murmuring, muttering under my breath. That's what we're supposed to be doing. I'm godly. I'm holy. God redeemed me. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. I'm pure in the eyes of God. I'm constantly being blessed. His anointing rests on me constantly. I am anointed. I speak the truth. God backs me up. When I pray for people, they get healed. I know for a fact that I'm a son of light. I know for a fact that I'm God's child. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. That's the truth of who I am. Do you see the difference? One is bringing yourself up. The other one is tearing yourself down. Okay? That's why we do those things. We no longer identify with the works of the flesh because it kills us. It robs from us. It steals the life of God out of you. That's why in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. What does it mean when something dissipates? But be filled continually, renewing yourself in the Spirit. By doing what? Huh? Speaking to yourselves. Hymns, songs, and spiritual songs, making melodies in your heart unto the Lord. That yourselves, it could be to you yourself and to each other. But you have a song in your heart. That's how you build yourself up. Some kind of a tune that you love. You know? Like, just sit right back and hear a tale, tale of a faithful ship that started on this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. You know what? See how y'all just started smiling? See, you started laughing? It just raised you right on up. Whoop, took you right on up, didn't it? That's what we're supposed to do continually. Bringing ourselves up and up and up. Do you know that cancer cannot live in enthusiasm?
No, sure can.
It cannot grow in enthusiasm. Isn't that crazy? Enthusiasm actually turns cancerous cells back to plump, healthy cells. Isn't that crazy? Cancer is not a cell that is a cancer cell. It didn't start that way. It was a regular, good, healthy cell that negative thinking, low religion, whatever it is, takes something healthy and kills it off and corrupts it and transforms it into something negative. And by rejoicing in the Lord, by praising, by being enthusiastic, by following joy, real, the real stuff, not religion, but what actually makes you laugh, what makes you effervescent and happy. Don't judge it. But you got to get into that feeling. You got to get into the real harmony of your song, the real thing inside of you. Pastor Trey and I kid a little bit. I want to let you know something. A lot of the stuff that makes me laugh, some of you would go, oh my, you shouldn't be laughing at that. I said, I know I shouldn't, but it's funny to me. I'm sorry, it just is. The point is, laughing is the thing, the real laughter, the real love of God, the real joy that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you have eternal life, that God's given his Holy Spirit to you and endued you with all that he is, that you and I are children of God. Amen? Amen. That will lift us up. We need to be continually filled with the Spirit of God, rooted and grounded in love, that the fullness of God would fill me. And then whatever I ask or think, according to the power that's in me, will manifest in the world around me. If you're not seeing enough progress, pursue love. Pursue joy. Pursue it. Are you with me? I love you guys. Did you get a little something out of today? Let's stand up if we can. If you can't, that's fine. Let's worship the Lord for a second. Without music. Okay, listen. You got to be able to do this at your home. Okay? You got to be able to do this in your chair. To be able to take yourself, set yourself down, or walk around if that's what you do, and come into the presence of God yourself. To where you enter into the throne room of grace. To where you can adore your Heavenly Father and find joy and fulfillment in that place. And when you're there in your room, which I mean inside of you, the room inside of you, the place where the kingdom of God is that you pray from, that place in you, that you give over whatever it is that you're dealing with in the presence of God. And as you give it over in the presence of God, let him have it. Lay it at his feet. And then you be free and come out of there freed of it. So that you know that it no longer has anything to do with you. Amen? And as we do that and we do that and we do that, what happens is it builds a pattern inside of us that it takes up more and more space and it's realer and realer until finally becomes normal, until finally your temperature goes up in your spiritual identity. It doesn't necessarily happen one time. Some people, one time, one thing. Sometimes it takes a habitual way of going in, resigning yourself, letting go of that stuff, and getting back into the presence of God and going up a little further. After a while, you will change your tune, literally, to one of joy and effervescent. Amen? So, I just want you to get before the Lord right now, and if you can raise your hands, raise your hands, and I want you to just see yourself coming into the presence of the Lord. Just tell him sweet things under your breath. Just acknowledge him under your breath. You don't have to be demonstrative. I want you to just start opening up your heart. If you can have your eyes closed, have your eyes closed. If you need some balance, lean against the pew in front of you or behind you. And just kind of resign yourself to tuning out this whole world except for my voice. And when you come into the presence of God, start seeing with the eyes of your heart. You know the one that if I say picture an apple or your front door or your automobile, it's easy, it just goes right there. You can picture it. Right there, that place. Go into the presence of the Lord. Doesn't matter what he looks like. Just come into his presence. See the glory around. See how it's fuzzy when you look because there's so much glory there. There's so much life there. The love of God is just filling the atmosphere in that place. The acceptance of God is just overwhelming at how much he wants you with him just the way you are. And as you're there breathing in, you can breathe in glory while you're in that place. And you can breathe in the life of heaven. And the love of Jesus just is flowing like a river out of him and into you, as if it's going right through your very being, washing you and cleansing you and loving you with so much love that's beyond what a person can give. You can't even describe the words. The love is so wonderful. I want you to see that glory of God just washing through your body, that love of God just flowing right through your being and just removing whatever the obstacle is in your body. If you have a sickness in your body, let it wash through. If there's something broken and your body is not working, see yourself there as that thing's being restored in the presence and the life of God. If there's a hardness in your heart where you're having trouble forgiving somebody, just look at the Lord and release it to him. Release them to him. If you're concerned about money, just standing there in his presence, it fills you with prosperity. Just his very presence makes you prosperous. Let go of the worry, of the doubt. Let go of the fear of the finances. And just let his glory fill you and make you prosperous just by his spirit flowing through you. Thank you, Lord. Tell him how wonderful he is. Just under your breath, let him know how much you love him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In that place, you can talk to him, and he will talk back to you. Let him. Let him share with you. Ask him about your situation. Let him talk to you about it. But you've got to come to him in this place. You have to come to this place and have your full attention on him, tuning out the rest of the world so that you can have that intimate dialogue with him. And when he talks to you and you hear him talking to you, faith is created inside of you and you're expanded on the inside because you'll believe him when he tells you face to face. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now I want you to start seeing that fading away as you're starting to come back into this room. Start noticing the temperature in the room and other people here. And just thank him that you were able to come into his presence. Thank him that he heard you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give him a clap offering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can sit down. That is calming and quieting yourself so that he can teach and talk to you. Okay? Is that helpful exercise? Amen. We have to lay hold of what God has given us. It's not magic. It's real life. Okay? Physician, heal yourself. Each one of us need to use what God has given to us. Okay? I want you to know, you are not powerless. You are not a victim. You do not have to carry this stuff. You do not have to suffer. But if you find yourself for a period of time suffering, don't think that it's strange, because it's for the testing of your faith, till you know that you know that you know that you really are the son or daughter of God, that it really is yours. Amen. Pastor Trey, you have something?
The word I saw when I was standing back there, I want you to visualize this. I saw a house, and I saw that with many of us in here, we have only gotten comfortable going into certain parts of the house. There's a room That's your comfort zone. It might be what Pastor Robert was talking about earlier, that middle frequency, you know, that everybody's generally comfortable in. But the Lord says this, is that in my presence, which is my house, there are many rooms. And there are many rooms available for you. And so practicing these things and stretching yourself and doing things that might not come comfortable to you are what's going to cause you to enter into different places in His presence, to where the needs are met. You know, worship does things for you that praying in tongues doesn't. Praying in tongues does things for you that fasting doesn't. And we could go on and on about that. There are different ways, methods of operating in His presence that might hold the keys if you're willing to get out of the room to where, you know, we got our favorite recliners, right? We sit in those places, and that's my chair. That's my room. That's my place. We don't do that in church, do we? Yeah, people do that, right? But the bottom line is there is a stretching that needs to take place in us, an expansion of going into different places in His presence, in different rooms, to where the Lord can minister things to you in those rooms that you're not getting in the room you're in. So just an exhortation for you. I believe the Lord gave me that picture for many people in this place. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for this opportunity that we have, Father, to come together to hear Your word. Holy Spirit, I just thank You for revealing truth to us, that You open the eyes of our hearts, that we can really come to know and understand what the will of the Lord is for our lives, Lord. That we can really see, like Peter says, that we need to really gird the loins of our minds, the procreation place that we think from, that builds our future. We need to grab a hold of that and hold on to that, Lord, and be aware of what we're creating by the way we think. That we've been rescued from our aimless wandering that our fathers have put into us by the traditions of people, Lord. That we can break free of that mold. Break free of what the devil is trying to put on us as our reality. And that healings and transformations would be a normal part of our life as we walk out of what has happened and into what we have in You, Lord. Father, I thank You for every person in this room and those that can hear my voice or see me online, Lord. And I just ask that every one of these souls, that the deepest desires of their soul, of their hearts, would be met, Lord. That everything in them that desires to know You would be magnified, Lord. That each one would be drawn supernaturally, that the doors would be open for a more deep and intimate, real relationship with You. That the distance that seems to separate us by unbelief would be minimized and removed completely, that we can have intimacy with You, Father. That love would be rooted and grounded deep in us, that we would know what the length, the width, the height, and the depth is, Lord, and filled with the fullness of God. That when we stand before You, You would say, "That's me." And when we see You coming, we would say, "That's me." That as You are, so are we in this world. And I thank You for that truth and that reality. I ask that our minds would be freed and we would have a habitual desire to pursue You with everything in us and manifest it in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. If you need prayer for anything, please come up. Pastor Minton.